This is the Bike Tourist Podcast, show number 22. My name is Gabriel. Welcome, especially if you're new to this podcast. Today we have an interview with Andy Kenny from Dublin, Ireland, who is going to do a 4,143-kilometer bike tour from Perth to Sydney, Australia, starting on April 5th, 2009. Andy is doing this tour to help the children victims of the Chernobyl accident through the Barron Chernobyl Project. This accident happened 23 years ago, but the victims continue to mount even after all these years, and the children are the ones who are suffering the most. Also, this is Andy's first tour. Listen to the whole interview in a few moments. This show is brought to you by the generosity of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Bike Tourist Podcast. And now, directly from Dublin, Ireland, we have Mr. Andy Kenny. He's going to do a bike tour in Australia from the city of Perth to Sydney. It is about 4,143 kilometers. And he has a website called pedalpower.ie. And now we have here Andy. Andy, say hello to the audience.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Hello, Gabriel.
Okay. Thanks you for being here. When I knew of what you were going to do, this solo tour in Australia, and the reasons you have for doing this this tour, I know that people need to know what you're going to do, what you're going to embark this adventure. And first, I want you to talk about yourself and the motivations, the goals that you are planning on for this adventure.
The motivation comes from I spent a year in Australia backpacking. And when I was in Australia, I was actually very overweight at the time. I was about 110, 120 kilos. And I remember I bumped into a cyclist going from Perth to Sydney. And I really couldn't understand that was physically possible to cycle that far. I mean, I was a person that struggled to climb up a flight of stairs or go for long walks type of thing. So it really kind of stuck in my mind that this guy could possibly cycle from Perth to Sydney. And then as I lost weight and got a little bit fitter, I came home and I actually ended up becoming a personal trainer. So going from one extreme to the other. And then I got involved with a charity called the Barron Chernobyl Project here in Ireland. They're a very, very small charity that go over to Chernobyl to work with orphanages and adult asylums. And I started over the last year raising money for them. And then it just kind of became a goal of mine that, you know, maybe I could combine the two ideas of cycling from Perth to Sydney as, you know, a kind of personal challenge, and then raising money for this charity at the same time. So that's really where the motivation comes from.
Okay, talk a little bit about the charity, the Barron Chernobyl Project. When I was checking your website, I was moved by what I saw in there. I could not realize that these things, you know, were in the 21st century, and many people have forgotten about Chernobyl by now, but there is still a struggle going on in there. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. The nuclear reactor explosion happened, I think, 23 years ago. Actually, the anniversary is coming up on April 26th. Obviously, you know, nuclear fallout was going to be around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So the people are still very affected by that, with birth defects and kind of other kind of social problems. But it's a very, very poor country, Belarus and the Ukraine. They're very, very poor countries. And this charity it's really set up by a couple of housewives in the west of Ireland that kind of got together with some local priests, local monks, and they kind of decided they needed to do something for these poor people over there. So they started going over and visiting orphanages in around early 90s, about 93, I think they started. And they started to initially go over just to kind of help out the kids. And it kind of spread from there to helping out the adults, because when the children become 18, they're automatically taken out of the orphanage and put into kind of mental asylums, because there's nowhere else for them to go. The charity have actually redone most of the orphanages that they have access to. So the orphanages are actually in fantastic facilities now. It's quite expensive to maintain them. In fact, 30% of the budget goes just on nappies for the orphanages. So that's kind of, they still have to maintain that kind of work with the orphanages. And now the main goal of is to look after and rebuild the adult asylums, which are, as you were saying, it's like something out of the medieval times. If you check the website, you'll see in the photo gallery there's some really appalling conditions, especially around the showers, toilets, dining area. It's very cold, very bleak, very dirty, absolutely filthy facilities that the poor guys have to live in out there. But they are doing some really good work, and they're going back again in October. And hopefully with my challenge, we can raise a good bit of money and do a lot more this time when we go out.
Okay, yes, I saw that in the website. And, you know, like I said before, it's 21st century and these things are happening. You know, I saw these photographs and read the fact about how much they are expending on their budget on the materials for the nappies for the kids. And you know, it's I have kids, and I wouldn't like to see them in those conditions. And I'm sure that the listeners, sure. the listeners that are listening to this program, if they don't have children, they usually have a friend or brother or sister that has. And it's really it's really sad, you know. You have to put yourself into the shoes of these kids, the struggle. Okay, yeah. Moving on now. Planning this adventure may have been a nightmare for you, because you know the
absolutely
the place you're going to cycle is so far away from your home in Dublin. And yet, you're going to ride around 4,100 kilometers on this adventure. For the benefit of our listeners, most are seasoned bike tourists. Some are starting out. We're going to move aside the charity from a moment. And let's talk about the things you choose for supporting yourself in this kind of tour. Okay, can you tell the audience what kind of cycle tour are you going to camp most of the time? Are you going to? Have you made that arrangement?
The bike itself is a Dawes Super Galaxy. It was recommended to me by the person I was talking to in the bike shop that I purchased it from, and since then I've become a big fan of it. It's a really, really good touring bike, very reliable. No punctures, no mechanical problems with it so far, so I'm very, very happy with it.
Okay, and as for equipment that you're going to carry with you, what have you chosen for supporting yourself? Tell us about, are you going to camp? Are you going to stay in homes? Have you made any arrangement in that respect?
I'm going to mostly camp, so I'm obviously going to bring a tent and sleeping bag and, you know, a stove for cooking. I think I'll probably end up staying in a roadhouse, maybe once every 5 or 6 days, just to kind of get a good night's sleep and kind of give my clothes a good wash. But I'm not bringing much equipment. Like I said, it'll be tent, sleeping bag, some minimal clothes. Most of the room is going to be taken up through food and water, because obviously I need to be eating quite a lot and drinking obviously a lot. The first week I'm expecting to have good access to water, and then the second, third, and fourth week I'm going to really struggle to get access to enough water. So that's where I'm going to be carrying a lot of weight in water, and obviously food as well. I'm going to do another piece of equipment that I think is vital is an iPod. So obviously I'll be listening to the show a lot, past episodes and so on. And I've managed to get myself a solar-powered charger, which I haven't been able to test out here in Ireland because we don't get a lot of sun, but I'm going to have to assume that it works. I don't have a lot of equipment other than that, really. I've obviously got cameras and spare parts, like spare tubes, spare spokes, spare brake pads, gear cables, stuff like that.
Okay. What about support? I know you are doing this adventure basically solo, but do you have a way to people keeping track of where you are? And in case of an emergency, have you planned for that?
I'm going to be able to update the website, I reckon, every 2 days myself. There will be internet access at various points along the route, especially at the beginning and the end. But in the middle of Australia, there won't be a huge amount. Where there's not access to the internet, I'll have access to a phone line in roadhouses along the way. So I'm going to telephone a friend of mine, and he's going to update the website for me. And with regards to emergencies, I don't have a satellite phone. I can't afford one. And I think if a bad accident happened where I needed hospital treatment, the only thing I can do is stop someone passing by, which I should pass someone once an hour, and they would either take me to the nearest town or go to the nearest town themselves and telephone for the flying doctor service. But hopefully it won't come to that. I'm pretty sure I should be okay. I should be okay.
Yeah, let's hope so. You know, the road has many, many surprises, both good or not so good for our cyclist. Okay, what about the travel arrangements? You know, these days that airlines are charging for everything, how hard is going to be, monetarily speaking, for sending your stuff over? Or are you going to send by mail? Are you going to bring it with you with the plane? Are you planning to get some stuff once you are there? Talk us about that.
Okay. The bike I'm going to bring with me. I'm going to get it boxed up and obviously, you know, I'll take off the wheels, the handlebars, the pedals, and deflate the tires and so on. It's only costing me €20 to bring it from Ireland to England. And my connecting flight from England to Singapore, then Singapore to Perth, that I think is going to work out at about €50 each way. So it's not too expensive. I think all in all about €150 all in all. So it's not too expensive. I'm not bringing any camping equipment. I'm going to purchase that in Perth when I get there on Saturday. So I'm going to try not to bring anything that I can purchase over there, like, you know, soap or sleeping tablets or painkillers, whatever it might be. I'm going to leave that to last minute so I can purchase it all when I get there, and it's less weight that I have to pay for to bring with me.
Okay. All in all, have you made a calculation how much weight will you be carrying on your bike?
I'm estimating about 20 kilos. I'm not finding the weight a problem. It's the drag of the bags. I'm expecting to hit a lot of headwinds or sidewinds as I cross the Nullarbor Plain, which is basically a desert. So it's more the drag that's going to slow me down than the actual weight, I think.
Okay, now that you are talking about headwinds and your 40 kilos, 20 kilos, I think, sorry. What about your training? What are you doing for training for this adventure? How many miles are you running? Do you have a routine that you can share with us?
Yeah, before July, the most I'd ever cycled was a 5-minute journey to work. I purchased the bike in July, and actually on the first day training, it was a 20-kilometer starting ride, and I was run off the road by a van and crashed and broke my arm and got a really bad concussion, and that kind of knocked me back for kind of 6 to 8 weeks, and then I was quite scared actually to get back on the bike after that. It was a little bit daunting the first couple of rides, but I kept at it. I was determined to do this, and I built up my mileage. Basically, I went from a 20K to 30, 40, 50, and so on. Adding on about 10, 15 kilometers a week till I did my longest run there 2 weeks ago, I think it was. I did 152 kilometers in 8.5 hours with just a few short breaks in between, which I was very happy with, actually. I felt good after it. I was tired, but it was a real confidence booster for the trip coming up.
Okay. I saw a page when it's about Andy in your webpage. And you put two photographs, Andy before, Andy after, and this is really interesting because sometimes we people want to do something for our bodies and to get in shape and to get in good health, and the difference in both photographs is stunning. And yeah. Tell us about
I have hair in one.
How do you did keep the will for losing weight and getting in shape, because sometimes people are looking for a motivation for doing things. You know, sometimes they say, I want to do this, but then they start and they hit the wall and They say, okay, this is not for me. I'll do it later. How did you keep constant and get in the shape that you are now?
I think I just made a decision that, you know, I wasn't ever really in a good shape from as a kid all the way through my teenage years. Really started to put on weight in my late teens, early 20s. And I wasn't happy with being overweight. I mean, some people are very happy to be overweight. That's fine. Lucky them. But in my case, I wasn't. I was overweight. I was unhappy. I eventually had enough. I went to Australia. I was backpacking. And I'm, you know, everyone in Australia is really fit. It's not like Ireland. Ireland is a little bit sedimentary. But in Australia, everyone keeps fit. And it kind of just made me decide to do something about it for once and for all. I'm quite a determined person. So when I put my mind to something, I stick at it. And it was a combination of looking after my diet, a nice healthy diet, and a low carb diet in the evening. And also obviously exercising. And that really, really helped me. But I think you need to set yourself some goals. In my mind, it wasn't to specifically lose weight. It was to fit into nice clothes was my goal. And that obviously went with losing weight.
Okay, yeah. It mentioned also that you have a personal trainer, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the route that you are going to do from Perth to Sydney. How did you choose the cities you're going to stop, the things you were going to do? How much distance are you going to cover each day just to know the, you know, exert yourself too much and in the middle of nowhere? Tell us about that, the route and the stops you're going to make and everything, so people can get an idea of how are you going to divide your day according to plan. You know, plans are put and they are developed and they change along the way, but what is during the intention?
There's a very good book, actually, that I copied a lot of the route from. It's called Cycling Perth to Sydney. It's pretty easy to find. And I've adapted that from stuff I learned on the internet, and I've extended some of the days as well. So instead of, for example, doing 199 kilometers, I'd split that up into 2 days. So I think my average day is about 120 kilometers. Maximum I have to do is about 186 kilometers on one particular day. I do have some rest days in there, but some of the rest days are when I'm crossing the Nullarbor Plain, and I, to be honest, I don't see that I'm going to take the rest day because there's nowhere for me to stop. I'm not going to sit in my tent for the day. So if you check the website out, I have a full itinerary listed there, but I'm not strictly going to stick to that. I think it's just to give me a rough idea. It's good to have a plan. I think the first 5 or 6 days I'll stick to that quite well, and then after that I'll see how things develop as I go along.
Yes, that's a good plan. It's a good plan as any. You know, there are temperature extremes in Australia. You know, one day you can go from really hot to really freezing. And how are you preparing yourself for that?
Unfortunately, my training has been in the winter here in Ireland, which has been quite cold. It's been dry, but we've gotten a good bit of sleet and very cold winds, and I've no training experience on the bike in hot conditions. So that's going to be a big test for when I arrive there. The first couple of days, it's not going to be hopefully more than 25 to 30 degrees and kind of 10, 12 degrees Celsius at night. The second, third and fourth week is going to be hot during the day and cold at night. So just I think it's to be prepared with my clothing and obviously sunscreen and hats and so on. But it's good in a way that the first 4 or 5 days I get to kind of acclimatize to the temperature as I'm cycling along, that I'm not suddenly going to 40 degrees. So I think that will hopefully work out well. I just need to keep an eye on my hydration and make sure I'm stopping every hour and a half to make sure I'm drinking enough and getting enough electrolytes on board.
Okay, how much climbing do you expect to do?
Climbing, yeah, there is a certain amount. The first couple of days, I've got a mountain range to get over. It's not too high. I think it's about 200-300 meters high, and then some rolling hills for a few days after that. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll get me out of the saddle. I don't mind climbing too much. Then it's pretty much flat for about 2 weeks. Then I get a slight mountain range again outside of Adelaide, and then I have a big problem. I've got the Blue Mountains to cross when I get to Sydney. And they go up to 1,200 meters. Now, in Ireland, the most I've managed to climb is 600 meters. and found that very tough. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. It's going to be a big test, but I'll do it. It might take me a bit longer than I had originally planned, but I'll make sure I do it. The good thing is at that stage, there'll be a lot of town, so I won't have to carry as much water. So I'll be a little bit lighter.
Yeah. The thing is that since when you get to those mountains, you will already will be maybe 80% or 90% of your route. So you'll have time to get stronger on the way. It is similar to the Trans-American Bike Trail here in the States, when most of the people travel from east to west. But I had one interview here in the show that did the opposite. He rode from west to east, and he said that starting out there were really big mountains he had to cope with. And he had some problems starting out the tour. He'd been thinking about quitting, but he just continued. And by the time he got to the east coast, he was okay. So this is the basically the last part of your trip. I think you're going to do okay. Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. Your website's really good. For the audience here, the website is www.pedalpowered.ie, and I see that you're having a lot of help from people. Can you tell us about the people who are helping you get this thing to fruition?
Yeah, I'm very lucky that I got at the very beginning some good sponsors on board. I think for advising people who are probably thinking about doing a similar trip, you just got to get out there and contact as many people as you can. It's hard to get money from people. Companies, obviously, in this economic climate, don't have a lot of money. So what I would suggest to people, if you're thinking of doing something similar, is to chase and try and get services. For example, my website was designed by a company called Voodoo.ie, and they've done an amazing job with it. I think when people go onto the site, you'll see it's very easy to navigate. You're not going to get lost in a lot of different pages. Each page is a kind of separate thing. You're not going to get dragged along. My sponsors have been great. I've got some really good friends that have been helping me out with the PR, and family, obviously, as well, have been fantastic. You just need to do a lot of it yourself. A lot of times people can, you know, do what they can for you, but really you've got to do it yourself. So it's an awful lot of work, but I think it's going to be worth it in the end. I really would recommend people to go out there and take on something as a big challenge as this. Obviously, if you're preparing, you're fit enough to do something along these lines. But I think having a good backup crew behind me here in Ireland has been, you know, fundamental to me being able to do it. I don't think I'd be able to do it without people's help.
Yeah, I understand that you are in a lot of activities. I understand that you are flying out on Wednesday, is that right?
That's right. I fly out Wednesday evening here in Ireland, and I get to Perth very early Saturday morning, and then I have to reassemble the bike at some stage on Saturday, and then buy all my camping equipment, some first aid stuff, and then I set off hopefully Sunday morning. So I don't have a lot of time to acclimatize in Perth, but I'm, you know, I think I'll be fine. As long as the bike doesn't get lost on the way, I should be fine to go on the Sunday morning.
Okay.
I didn't want to go on Monday because I'd be hitting the rush hour traffic.
Okay. We have a pretty good audience from Australia here in the show. So if anybody would like to give you a helping hand once you are along the way, how is the best way to contact you?
That would be fantastic. I'd love to hear from anyone in Australia. It'd be good if you want for a day's ride. If you go to, you can engage me.
Okay. What is the best way to contact you? Through the website, right?
Yeah, if you go to the website, there's a really good contact page there. So I'd be delighted to hear from anyone if they wanted to join me for a day cycle or offer me somewhere to stay for the night in Australia. That'd be brilliant. That'd be really cool. So you can send me a quick email through the website.
Okay, what about people are going to keep track of your adventure? And I know that you are going to have a pretty good press coverage on your travel. If anybody would like to help with your adventure or with the cause you are championing, they go to the website and there will be plenty of contacts in there. How do they do?
Yeah, I want to be clear to people that I'm paying for the trip myself. It's all, well, my credit card is. I've paid for the flights, I've paid for the bike, I'm going to pay for all expenses. So any donations I get will go directly to the charity. So none of that pays for my cycle across Australia. I'm personally covering that. Any donations go straight to the charity. And the great thing about the charity is, in Belarus, the money goes a long way. So it doesn't need to be much money. It goes a really long way in Belarus. So what I'm hoping is that people will donate just a few euros or a few dollars or whatever their currency is. I'm trying to get a lot of people to donate a few euros or dollars, not a large amount. So if you go to the website, you can do it through PayPal. I'm sure most people are familiar with PayPal. It's basically done through your credit card. So I'd really appreciate it if people could come on and donate what they can, or even just come on and read the blog that I set up and keep track of how I'm going. And if you have any questions, by all means, send me an email. I'll definitely respond to people.
Now, moving away from the trip itself, as we were talking on the pre-show moments, it came like a surprise to me that, you know, when you had your accident, that you broke an elbow like I did. And and this is really discouraging for some people to get on the bike, and then you are more careful, and things that you were not taking into account before, you take more into account, and you think in the whole scheme of things. But you know, you did something for getting back this your arm into shape, and you were telling me about the chiropractor. I haven't think of that. Tell us how the process of getting back your arm into shape was.
When I broke my arm, I broke the head of the radius, which is the bone that goes into the elbow joint. I also had a small hairline fracture on the wrist. And once I came out of kind of the sling, my arm would only extend to maybe 45 degrees. So I was losing about, you know, half of my extension. Physiotherapy was helping, but it only did so much. It was really until recently I went to a chiropractor who, you know, pulled and twisted and so on. So it sounded hard, but it wasn't. Since then, I've got about 90% of the use of my elbow. It does seize up a little bit from time to time, and obviously after a hard day's ride, it does get a little bit tense. But you know, it's much better. So I'm sure it's a common injury for cyclists to break their elbow, especially the left one. If you're cycling on the left, that is. So yeah, I definitely recommend, if someone's had a similar problem, see a chiropractor. It definitely helped me. It's much better.
Okay, Andy, it's been a pleasure to have you here, and we will be following your adventure very closely. Thank you very much again for sharing with us what you're going to do, the cause you're championing here, which is really, really a very important cause of very obscure things that are happening in the Chernobyl area in Belarus, things that you never think is going to happen to you or to someone you love. And these things need to be known and needs to be helped. So I tell people here in the show, the audience, or people who just listen us to by chance, that there are things that are worth fighting for. There are things that need to be helped, and this is one of them. This is my personal feeling here. I'm not receiving anything for this. No, it is my personal belief that no one should suffer unnecessarily. And things that the cause you are championing, the Baron Chernobyl project, and this bike tour where you'll be exerting yourself, travel through from Perth to Sydney, these are the things that count. And some people have done things like this for other causes, and this cause is really special for me. You know, like I said, people go to the website. Remember, it's www.pedalpower.ie, and check the website. Read everything. Go to the links. Go to the Baron Chernobyl project. There is a link in the website, and see for yourselves, and read, And you'll know that maybe by reading and spreading the word of what's happening, you will help this cause. And these kids really need it. These kids really need it. So, Andy, thank you again for being here and sharing your plans with us. And please keep us posted on what you're going to do. And we wish you good luck in the name of the Bike Tourist Podcast.
Thanks very much, Gabrielle. Really appreciate your help and promoting the tour. It's been great talking to you, and hopefully it's of interest to your listeners. I hope they can check out my website and have a look, see how I'm getting on. And by all means, as I said, if you email me, I'll do my best to get back to you. Okay. And I'll get back onto the podcast as well and hopefully give you an update of how I'm going.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Gabrielle for the Bike Tourist Podcast. Thank you very much, and keep listening.
Bike Tourist Podcast.